So we got up to Daf Mem Chesam and Beis in Ezo Mekoman, and if you remember, we were discussing Tzafon. We spoke about Shechita B'Tzafon. We spoke about Kabbalah B'Tzafon. We said that if the Torah requires Tzafon only once, if there's only one pasuk, then that's L'Mitzvah. If the Torah repeats itself, then Shino Lav HaKosav Li'Akev. The Torah is repeating it to tell us that it's absolutely critical and you can't do without it. The original requirement of Tzafon at the beginning of Vayikra is written in the parash of Ola. But then a little bit further in Vayikra, when the Torah gets to the parash of Chatos, it says that the Makom, the same place, Asher Tishachai Ha'ola, Sham Tishachai HaChatos. And since the Torah already identified that the proper place for Shechitas Ola is Tzafon, and then the Torah says about Chatos that it should be shechted in the place of the Ola, we know that Chatos also requires Tzafon. Then the Gemara says that's only the mitzvah, and then we had a whole drasha yesterday in order to repeat that in the case of Chatos, we have not only requirement of Tzafon as far as a mitzvah is concerned, but even mi'akiv. And what we're up to now, and then Shmuel, you're on board. I just want to mention just the framework of what we're doing today. So the topic for today is how do we know in Ola that the requirement of Tzafon with regard to Shechita and Kabbalah is Likuva, because the Torah mentions Ola and Tzafon once. So Tzafon and Ola is only mentioned once, that's the mitzvah. In the case of Shechita, the Torah really mentions it twice. Once by comparing the Mokom Shechita in Chatos to Ola, and secondly the Torah says that you require Tzafon in Chatos. So the repetition teaches me Liakiv. What we want to study today is how do we know that in Ola it's Ma'akiv. Yeah.
Didn't we once mention the union of Tzafon because we were talking about the machloket to do with the person bringing the sora?
Yeah.
Meaning korban, right?
Right. Yeah. Shat mitzora.
I missed one shear, so I caught up on it, so I'm a little weak.
Listen, Shmuel, if you miss this shear, you have to bring a korban asham.
So it was Asha Mitzorah.
I let you get away with an Asha. I could have said a Chatos.
So, but like there was a thing there, even the Shar Nikanor could be partially in the Tzofen.
Right. It's not exactly the Tzofen, but it's close enough to the Tzofen so that if he stands there and he stretches his arm out, he can do the Shechita in the Tzofen, even though he's physically located out of the Tzofen. Right, so let's see where we're up to, Rabbi Osai. We're on Mem Ches Amid Beis. Okay? And we're looking at... Let's count up from the bottom of the Amid. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 lines up from the bottom. Mem Ches Amid Beis. Amid Beis.
Yeah,
right.
Amid Beis.
But six lines up from the bottom of Mem Ches Amid Beis. I should have told you Mem Ches Amid Aleph, and then I would have told you to turn the one page back. Okay. So again, let's just before we start with the word Ashkechan, everyone should put their finger on the word Ashkechan. So let's just explain that until now we know that there's a source for the requirement of Tzofen and Chatos, both L'mitzvah and L'ikuvah. And now the Gemara wants to know, how do we know that din of Tzofen, that requirement of Tzofen, applies in Ola, but not just L'mitzvah, but even L'ikuvah. Ashkechan, the Gemara says, Shechita bi'Ola. We know that the Torah requires Shechita bi'Ola. That's mamash at the very beginning of Chumash, Vayikra, but that's L'mitzvah. So in the pasuk it says V'shachat oso al yerech ha-mizbeach tzofona. That's the original source of tzofon. It's right there up front with regard to Ola. It's about as explicit as you can get. But that's only L'mitzvah. The Gemara says Kabbalah nami L'mitzvah Ashkechan. As far as Kabbalah hadam in Ola, we also find that it requires tzofon L'mitzvah. But that's again only L'chatchila. And now the Gemara wants to know Shechita v'Kabbalah li'akev. In the case of an Ola, how do we know that Tzafon, both with regard to Shechita and Kabbalah, is li'akev? Minolan, how do we know that? Because again, although the Torah says in one round that you require Tzafon in Ola, but the Torah never repeated it in Ola. Amarav Adabar Ava, the Itema Rabba Bar Shila. Now we have to be a little bit careful over here, because the word Kal Vachomer, the phrase Kal Vachomer, which is one of the Yud Gimel Midos HaTorah addressed to him, is here being used a little bit loosely. It's not actually a Kal Vachomer. It's a borrowed term. And let's explain the mechanics of this, we'll call it a new category of Kal Vachomer. This new type of Kal Vachomer, which is not the same as every other Kal Vachomer, works like this. That if you derive certain halachas from case A, the big capital A, that becomes your paradigm case. And then you derive a bunch of halachas from them. Now, if you find that these certain halachas, the Torah tells you, go very far, like for example, Ikuva, you know, they're absolutely critical, then certainly big A, that also has to be Li'ikuva. Because it can't be that you derive something from A and then it becomes more chumer than A. So any chumers, any strict requirements and strict laws that apply to all the derivatives of A now reflect back, they boomerang back onto A. So what we're going to see is the following. Let's just get the framework here. A, the big A here is Karban Ola. So maybe it's called the big O. Okay. Ayin, it's written in Hebrew as an Ayin. So Ayin is usually an A. So we'll call it an Ola as an A. Right. So we have this big A which is called Ola. The Torah says explicitly, Vishachat es Ola, Tzfon HaMizbeach, and it's Yerech al Yerech HaMizbeach Tzfon. So Tzfon is written, that's the paradigm case. Any other case that we have of Tzfon is going to be a derivative of Ola. Okay, so everybody sees Ola now, Ola's on the top. Now we've derived the conclusion that Chatos, which is a derivative from Ola, because the Torah says that the Mokom Shechita of Chatos should be the same as the Mokom Shechita of Ola. We know that Shechita as a paradigm requires Tzfon. And then the Torah repeats itself in Chatos to tell me that it's critical. It's Likuva. So if you shech the carbon Chatos outside of the Tzofon, it's possible. The carbon is possible. Now you want to know, well, what's the deal in Ola? Would Ola be only a mitzvah or is Ola ma'akev? Is the requirement of Tzofon critical in the case of Ola? So the answer is that since we derive Chatos from Ola, and we know that Chatos, the requirement of Tzofon is critical, it's Likuva, the Melit must be that A, the big A, which is Ola, which is the paradigm case, which taught us, I mean, that also would have to have this Chumrah, this requirement of Likuva. Let's see it inside. Amar Av Adabar Ava V'itema Rav Bar Shila B'kal V'chomer Uma Chatos Haba'a Mikoach Ola. Now, it's the requirement of Tzofon in the case of Chatos is a derivative from Ola. Again, let's go over the pasuk. The pasuk says, "B'makom asher tishachet ha'ola, tishachet ha'chatas." It's telling me that chatas should be shechted in the place where you shecht the Ola. And again, Ola was your primary case. And in the case of chatas, which is derived by virtue of this hekesh, this equation of b'makom asher tishachet ha'ola, tishachet ha'chatas, ma'akeves, the tzofon requirement is absolutely critical. Without it, the carbon is possible. Is ola sheba chatas mikocha eino din shema'akeves? Isn't there a certain and absolute convincing argument that tells me that ola, which is the original requirement of Tzofon, you know, if you're the real McCoy, the genuine requirement of Tzofon is an Ola. And now Chatos is Ba'a Mikach Ola. Chatos is a derivative from Ola, because the Torah itself equated Chatos to Ola with regard to the Mokom Shechita. Eino Din Shemakeves. If Chatos is the requirement of Ola's Makeves, how much more so the original? What's the original? Ola. That Ola requires Tzofon Li'ikuva. So the Gemara here says the following. You know what? I'm not so impressed by your logic, Rav Adabar Ava. Why? Because maybe the requirement of Tzofon in the case of Ola is a mitzvah, and we're going to take that mitzvah and we're going to apply it to Chatos. And now Chatos, the Torah is going to be so machmir about Chatos and say that it's not only a mitzvah, but it's Li'ikuva. And all I have to do, says the Gemara, in order to just simply bust the bubble here of Rav Adabar Abba's so-called Kavachomer, is to show you that there's a logical reason why the Torah may have upped the ante and required a more strict requirement in the case of Chatos than in the case of Ola. So let's just think about it. Ola is a very nice embellishment, you know, it's like a cherry on the, it's a luxury item. You know, it's nice to bring a carbon ola, but Chatos, wow, that's really basic. When we talk about Chatos, we're talking about somebody who violated what kind of an Avera? A Chiv Karetz, you know, it's on the highest level. So the Gemara wants to know, maybe this requirement of Tzafon, you know, I guess the philosophy of the Gemara is the more specific the requirements of the avod of a particular carbon, it means that the Torah is being more strict with requirement that carbon. If I can show you why the severity of the crime generates the carbon, I can therefore understand why the Torah has to be very strict and severe about the restrictions and the requirements to fulfill that carbon. And that's what the Gemara says now. Ma lechatos, if you're comparing chatos to an ola, well, chatos is a much more intense and strict requirement. Shekein mechaperes al chayve krisus. And that's why tzafon is absolutely critical. You know, this tzafon, let's imagine that tzafon, we don't know exactly the philosophy, but let's say that tzafon is a level of closeness to Shechina. You know, you're really going up the ladder here. You're not just in the, you know, you're not just in the Azara, but you're in the Tzfon Azara, you know, the tzafon. You know, like you're going up to the Galilee, you're going to tzafon, you know what I'm saying? And that requirement is because, you know, this carbon has to be a very, very profound carbon. This carbon is going to achieve something that's mind-boggling. It's going to bring kapara for a chayve krisus. But ola, again, ola is not really a kapara at all. I mean, you could have a kapara, we once discussed this, for chayve essay, possibly. And even so, even if you violated an essay and you didn't bring you didn't take a lulav on, so because it doesn't mean you're chayve in a carbon ola. That's not the way it works. It's not a quid pro quo relationship. In a more general sense, a diffused sense, we have a kapara of chayve essay in the case of an ola. But ola primarily is not a carbon le kapara. All is a way of bringing a gift to the Ribbono Shel Olam. Again, it's a very nice idea, very nice luxury. You know, you want to bring someone a gift, but it's not a strict requirement. And therefore, maybe, although, again, the paradox is, although Ola is the paradigm, and that's the big A that we said from which we derive Chatos, but it could be now the Torah takes Chatos and goes even further than Ola, because the restrictions and the strict nature of Chatos is that much greater than that of Ola. Yeah.
Isn't there a definite comparison, because the things that are in Tzafon are always kachi-kachi? So you see, Chazal, whatever their name, they're somehow better. I don't know if I could say in what way, but if Chazal say they're the kachi kachi, so they must be more kadosh.
Right. So Shmuel, I'm not sure, but I think I could reformulate what you're saying as a cash on the Gemara. The Gemara is working very hard to figure out, is Ola Tzafon Likuv. Well, maybe the answer is Kachi Kachim, like you say. Ola is Kachi Kachim, and that itself requires Tzafon. But you see, it could be, that's what we have to figure out, that you can classify something as Kachi Kachim in one of two ways. One way is that there's a mitzvah to shecht it in the tzafon. That makes it already an auxiliary member of the high class club, you know, the King David, club of El Al, you know, that you can say that, all right, Ola, we'll let it in. You know, we'll allow Ola to enter into this club and gain membership in the Kachi Kachim club, because there is a mitzvah, which is explicit in the Torah, to shecht the carbon Ola in the tzafon. But kachi kachi might mean something else. Kachi kachi might mean that the requirement of tzafon is absolutely critical. And from that perspective, although we let Ola into the lounge, you know, but Ola's sitting in the back of the lounge. You know, we're not going to let him sit up front. You know, if you're a gold card member, you can even take a shower in the airport in the lounge. You know what I'm saying? That we're not going to allow Ola. So Ola, yes, it has a toe in the Kachi Kachim realm, but we don't know that it's real Kachi Kachim. it's kachi kachim le mitzvah, and therefore tzafon is the best thing to do, but it's not really kachi kachim. So one of the discussions that I prepared for you for today, Mr. Shem, is the question of Shalmei Tzibur. So we don't know what Shalmei Tzibur is, I hope. That'll give me a chance to get into the sugi of Shalmei Tzibur. But be that as it may, Shalmei Tzibur might have a quasi membership or categorization in the Kachin Kachin Club. So again, you know, where you are in the realm of Kachin Kachin. So if I were to ask you the following question, why is the Gemara racking its brains to figure out whether or not Ola requires Safon? Li'ikuva, why not just quote the halacha, invoke the din of Kachin Kachin? The answer is that's proof of what we're dealing with. How do you know that Ola is Kachin Kachin? Don't tell me the answer before you've proven the answer. Then you're in circular reasoning. So if you're going to tell me, well, Ola is Kachin Kachin. Yeah, but how do you know that Ola is Kachin Kachin? The only reason you can prove and establish that Ola is Kachin Kachin is because Ola requires Tzafon. But what does that mean, Ola requires Tzafon? If you're only telling me, and you're willing to go as far as to say that L'chatchil, it's a nice mitzvah to shech the carbon Ola and the Tzafon, but if you shech the Darum, it's still kosher. So then I give him a knapper membership, you know, give him a secondary membership in the club. We'll give him a 5% discount instead of a 10% discount. You know, but it's not real kosher kosher. When can you really classify and define Ola as Kachin Kachin? That's only when you get to the light at the end of the tunnel and you finally find out through some derivation that Ola requires Safa not just to embellish the mitzvah of Ola, but as a critical element in the mitzvah of Ola. So that we don't know yet. Rav Adi Bar Abba thinks we do know it from this so-called Kal V'chomer, because it can't be that Chatos, which is the derivative of Ola, should be more Machmir than Ola. And the Gemara argues against Rav Adi Bar Abba, because that would be true if all things were equal. If I had no reason to think that Chatos is on a different level, a higher plane in the hierarchy of Karbonis than Ola, if all things were equal, and there's nothing compelling me to put Chatos on a higher level, then you're right. You know, you derive Chatos from Ola. Chatos is also Likuva, the Tzafon. And therefore, Ola is also Likuva, the Tzafon. But now that I've come up with a logic that tells me that Ola doesn't really make the grade as far as Chatos. In comparison to Chatos, it pales because Chatos is a Chayve Krisus. That's an absolute profound Kapara, the Machaper, the Kapara power of Chatos on the highest level. And therefore, the Torah was very machmir about Safon and made it into a critical requirement. You know, that's the real Kachin Kachin. But who says that Ola is the real Kachin Kachin? Maybe Ola is just a fake Kachin Kachin. You know, it only has the din of Safon L'chatchila. So Amar Avina, Ha Kashale L'Rav Adi Bar Abba, Kluma Tzinu Tafel Chomer Min HaIkar. Basically, what Ravina is saying is that Rav Adi Bar Abba is working with a mechanical and magical hermeneutic principle. You know, the principles by which we derive halachas. Don't add svaras and pirchas and try to come up with logic to reject this. We have a principle, and this principle is absolute. It knows no exception, and that is lo matzinu tafel chomer min ha'ikar. Tafel means if something is derived, then it could never be more chomer than the ikar from which we derived it. Chatos is a tafel, and Ola is the ikar, because chatos is only a derivative of Ola as far as the requirement of Tzafon is concerned. The real McCoy requirement of Tzafon is Ola, and that's where the Torah is outspoken about it. Now you derive Chatos from Ola, that's already a Tafel. By definition, Chatos is a Tafel. And now the Gemara is about to embark upon an analysis of this new principle that Ravina is revealing in order to explain Rav Adi Bar Abba, that Lo Matzinu Tafel Chomer Min HaIkar. Says the Gemara, Omalei Marzucha Bereid Rav Mori L'Ravina. They asked Ravina the question, V'lo, is it really, really true that we don't find such a thing? I have no precedent for the fact that a Tafel could be more Chomer than the Ikar. So you derive B from A, and now B works on its own, and it could be even more far-reaching than A. And here's the case. we'll talk about Maisa. Now we're talking about Maisa Sheni. And Maisa Sheni has a certain status as a tafel to it. And yet it's Chomer Min HaIkar. Again, so let's just see where we want to get to here. The goal of the Gemara now in Shlugging Up Ravina is to use Maisa Sheni as a paradigm of a case of a tafel that's more Chomer than the Ikar. How so? And here we have to get into the laws of pidyon. Now, normally, if you have fruits that are Maisa Sheni, and you want to take them to Yerushalayim to fulfill the mitzvah in Yerushalayim, you could do pidyon. But where does that pidyon take place?
Where you started.
Out of Yerushalayim. Do you follow me? You don't take them into Yerushalayim and do pidyon. The exception to that rule is going to be tamei. Right? Let's say the Maisa Sheni produce became tamei, like a sheretz landed on the Maisa Sheni. So here the halacha is nifdeh. Nifdeh means we're going to allow you to redeem the peros of Maisa Sheni, transfer the kedusha over to domim, even in Yerushalayim itself. And what happens is that now you have the kedushas Maisa Sheni is transferred over to the domim, to the mos, to the coins, and now that kesef, that money, takes on the kedusha of Maisa Sheni and replaces the original kedusha on the fruits. And the fruits themselves are chulin. They lose their status of Maisa Sheni. So whatever kedusha generated in the fruits themselves, the status of Maisa Sheni, that kedusha is being removed and it's being transferred over to the domin, to the money. That's called pidyon. And in the case of nitma, of tamei, then we're going to allow that pidyon to take place even in Yerushalayim itself. So imagine a guy schleps all his peros. He's got baskets and bushels worth of peros of Maisa Sheni in Yerushalayim, and they became tamei. Now we're going to allow him to do pidyon in Yerushalayim itself. And what does the pidyon effectuate? The transfer of the kedusha from the peros onto the mos. Okay, that's very interesting. But what does that have to do with us? And the answer is ve'ilu lakuach bekesef Maisa Sheni eino nifteh. Okay, now there's something called lakuach bekesef Maisa Sheni. Let's say, for example, I did the transfer and the pidyon back in my hometown. Now I came to Yerushalayim. What do I have now? Kesef Maisa Sheni. Correct? What do I do with Kesef Maisa Sheni? I purchase food or drink and I eat it b'kedusha and b'tara in Yerushalayim. Now, if I bought these fruits with Kesef Maisa Sheni, right? So we're talking about not the original fruits. We're talking about the second fruits. These are we'll call it the Yerushalayim fruits. And the Yerushalayim fruits became tamei. Again, after I bought them with Kesef Maisa Sheni, eino nifteh. Then there's no pidyon. Disnan, we have a Mishnah in the third parak of Maisa Sheni. Halakuach bekesef Maisa Sheni shenitma yipodeh. Okay, that's the Tanakam. The Gemara now is focused on Rabbi Yehuda. So let's just fast forward to Rabbi Yehuda for the time being. Rabbi Yehuda disagrees and he says, v'omer yikaver. You just have to bury them. In other words, there's no possibility of pidyon. So now, watch what happens here. If we were talking about the original, then if it became tamei, then it's subject to pidyon. What do I mean by the original? The original I'm talking about is the original peros Maisa Sheni that grew in your field, and you separated one-tenth for Maisa Sheni, right? That's in the first year, second year, fourth year, and fifth year of the cycle, and now it became tamei, it is subject to pidyon. That's the original, correct? Now we get to the case of lakuach bekesef Maisa Sheni. Now lakuach kesef Maisa Sheni is already what we call a derivative. It's not the original, because what happened was you took the pears of Maisa Sheni, you converted them to domim, and then from these domim you bought some food, and now that food became tameh. And paradoxically, there's no possibility of pidyon. Is that a chumra or a kula when you say there's no possibility of pidyon?
It's a chumra
because you're going to have to bury them. And you forfeit the mitzvah. And not only do you forfeit the mitzvah, you forfeit all the meals that you could have eaten in Yerushalayim. You know, you could have invited your friends. Hey, we're eating a Maisa Sheni dinner here in Yerushalayim. All that went down the tubes. Why? Because this is nilkach bekesef Maisa Sheni. Because it's a derivative. And as a result of the fact it's a derivative, we all of a sudden upgrade the Kedusha to such an extent that the Kedusha doesn't lend itself to pidyon. And that proves that your principle, Ravina, that lo matzinu, we never found, shehei tofel, chomer min ha'ikar, that's not true. Here's a case of a tofel, it's a derivative, and it's more chomer than the ikar. Because, oddly enough, the ikar itself would lend itself to pidgin, if it became tummy, which means basically that the tumah element here reduces the kedusha level in the peros to allow you to be po to them even in Yerushalayim. You know, usually we talk about these fruits in Yerushalayim, they have halaga, halaga kedusha. You know, you get burnt from the kedusha, it's so holy. And now we're saying, well, the tumah comes along and it's like a, you know, something that pierces the balloon, the air is going out, and the kedusha goes down, 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 and now you can do pidgin on the original peros. But now, talk about the other scenario. He took the peros of the original peros of Maaseh Sheni, he converted them into what? Into Damim. Now he took the Damim and he bought a second string peros, and those peros have such a kedusha that by far exceeds the kedusha of the original peros, such that even if it becomes Tomei, the kedusha says, no, you're not going to overpower me, and there's no way, no how that you can be posed. So you see that here's a case of a tofel that's chomer min ha'ikar, and that works out according to Rabbi Yehuda. By the way, a technical question here, which is not for us now, is why does the Gemara build all these castles in the sky on Rabbi Yehuda when the Chacham never accepted Rabbi Yehuda? Okay, the Chacham never accepted Rabbi Yehuda. They basically said that the Kedusha of the second string peros is equal to, but not greater than, the Kedusha of the first set of peros, the original ones, and therefore since in the original it became Tomei, you could be posed in Yerushalayim, so too in the replacement peros, the second string peros, if it became Tomei in Yerushalayim, you could be posed to them. But again, that's not the point. Then the Chachamim are not disagreeing with Rabbi Yehuda because lo yehei tofel chamor min ha'ikar. They could also have accepted, but they just hold that in this case it's not more chamor, it's not less chamor. It has the same identical kedusha as the original peros because it was bought with kesef ma'aser sheni. But what we see clearly from Rabbi Yehuda is that ein chinami, the tofel can be greater than the ikar. Says the Gemara, that's not a kash at all. And the Gemara blows this away with such ease that you really wonder why they even thought of making this analogy to begin with. Says the Gemara, Hasam, in the case of Lakua Pekesa Maaseh Sheni, you know why you can't be poded? That's not because it has a higher level of Kedusha. On the contrary, as we say in Yiddish, Pumfakeret, Shalo Alima Kedusha Se Limitvas Pidjone, that in order to have a pidgin, you need a high level of Kedusha. Only when there is a strong level of Kedusha, then you can take that Kedusha and you can transfer over to Moss. But once the Kedusha goes down a level, then there's no pidgin. So if we had the original Peros, as a result of the fact that Kedusha is on the highest level possible, the original Peros that grew in his field, that he separated as a tenth, you know, tithe for his miser, those fruits, because of that great Kedusha, that Kedusha is nitfas bipidgin. You can have pidgin. But you can't have pidgin in the case of a lower level of Kedusha. That means in the replacement fruits, which were the second, as we call it, the second string fruits, that doesn't lend itself to pidgin. And this Gemara is a fascinating Gemara because there's something counterintuitive here. You know, you might think that the highest level of Kedusha doesn't lend itself to pidgin. You know, the object is so kadosh. Like, for example, in Kedushin, we always make a difference between Kedusha Saguf and Kedushas Domin. Kedushas Domin, when you makdish something lebedek habayis, that lends itself to pidgin. But Kedushas Aguf doesn't lend itself to pidgin. Why? Because Kedushas Aguf is that much of a greater level of Kedusha. And Fakir, when perhaps can you be pulled to Kedushas Aguf that's only after Nofel Bamum, after it goes down a Madriga, and now the Kedusha has been deflated to some extent because it's now Pusul of Mizbeah, then you could be pulled to it. But the Gemara here is operating with the exact opposite svara. And the mechanics is such that the greater level of Kedusha allows you for pidgin, the lower level of Kedusha doesn't allow you for pidgin. And I think what's going on over here is that if you have a higher level of pidgin, of Kedusha, then the Torah says, you know what? if you can't, the Torah has to find a way of that Kiddush expressing itself. I mean, that's not a good phrase, but it means that the Kiddush has to come to the fore. It has to somehow realize itself. In modern Hebrew, we call it Hagshama. You're familiar with that phrase?
Manifest itself.
To manifest. Somehow you got to grab onto that Kiddush. You can't just let it go. Where the Torah is going to work over time to stretch itself in all directions to make sure that Kedusha will get its due. And that you're not going to take these pears and throw it down the toilet, pardon the expression, but you're going to allow for pigeon. In the case of a second string peros, okay, you know what? If it became tame and as a result we have to bury them, so it's not catastrophic. You know, we're not going to lose any sleep over that. But in the original peros of Kedushas Maaseh Sheni, the Torah allows for a mechanism of pigeon to guarantee that somehow this Kedusha will see its due. You know, Kedusha is like an entity. It's like a living being. And we have to make sure that living being continues to live. So you're stuck with a massive amount of peros out in you're in Kafri, you're in Tzrifin up there in the north. There's no way, no how that you can schlep all those peros. You don't have enough wagons, Baruch Hashem, you're very wealthy, to transport all this massive volume of fruits to Yerushalayim. So what's going to be with the Kedushas HaPeros? You got to eat it in Yerushalayim. That's the only way you can express and manifest that Kedusha and realize the Kedusha. So the Torah comes up with pigeon. And that pigeon is a method, is a mechanism which the Torah recognizes, and the Torah works overtime to come up with that mechanism in order to facilitate that Kedusha. Because we're in a no-win situation and we got so much Maaseh Sheni, there's no way that we can get that Maaseh Sheni over to Yerushalayim. So the Torah created this mechanism called what? Pigeon. But now you came to Yerushalayim and you've done your pigeon, you took the money and you bought payrolls, okay. Those payrolls are already a low level of Kedusha. Here the Torah doesn't have to bend over backwards and sweat and figure out how to get pigeon. If it's tar, then we'll have pigeon. You know, then there's enough for Kedusha for pigeon. But if it became tameh, that really lowers the level of Kedusha, and therefore there's no pigeon, and it's no tragedy if we haven't buried the fruit. So again, what the Gemara's logic is that it's just the opposite. You thought that the reason why in Lakua Pekesav Aisheni there's no pigeon when it became Tommy is because of the result of Tafel Yoser Chomer Min HaIkar. No. The Ikar is Yoser Chomer Min HaTafel. And that's exactly why we're going to allow for pigeon in the case of the Ikar to make sure that Kedusha reaches its fruition. Whereas in the second case, which is the Tafel of Kesav Lakua Pekesav Aisheni, there, we're not going to allow for pigeon. So now the Gemara has another case. I'm going to prove to you that the tafel is more chomer than the ikar. Now let me ask you a question. In the case of tmura, which is the ikar and which is the tafel? Right? You have a behemas chulin, you have a behemas kodshim, and you turn to the behemas chulin and you say, "Arei zu kizu." Which is the real ikar and which is the tafel? The original Kedusha, right? Now the Gemara says, I'm going to prove to you that there are dinim that apply to the Behemas Tmura that by far exceed in their Chumra, in their restrictive, strict nature, than the original Behemas Kodshim. And that again is going to undermine this principle of Rav Ado, the way Ravin understood it, that lo matzinu shehei tafel chomer min ha'ikov arei tmura de ilu Kodshim, if you go back to the original Behemas, Kodshim is lo chayli al bamum kavua. V'ilu I chayli. Let's say you have a Behema that's a balmum, and now you want to be makdish as a karbon. Would that hakdosha be chal? The answer is no. You can't be makdish a balmum. Again, if you were Makdish when it was a Tamim and then it became subsequently a Balmum, okay, that's Kodshim Shenifsul. You know, we have a Psula Balmum. But to take a Behema that doesn't have a leg and be Makdish it, that you can't do. However, that same Behema that doesn't have a leg, that's a Balmum, if you were to subject it to Tmura, and you would take a Behema's Kodshim and say, Hare Zu Tmura Zu, then guess what? The chalos tmura, that kedushas hakarbon, would apply even though it's a balmum. So here's a case where we have a derivative, we have a tafel, and yet it's more chomer than the ikar. And the Gemara says, Tmura mikol kachim kaasi. Right? What generated the chalos kedusha in the Tmura? It was the original chalos kedusha in the kachim. So certainly, we have to define the Tmura as tafel. And yet, paradoxically, the kachim mikol chulin kaasi. So what does this mean? The kachim mikol chulin kaasi. I'm going to read to you his translation. He says, Kachim itchilas hakdesham mikachulin kasi boy mikachulin klomar adayin lo haisekan shum kedusha ulefichach im abehema balas mum kavua ein koach lahakdish lahakdish lachuli olel nimtzish ein kan tafel chamerikosh kein masha tmura chala al behemas mum ein amach mas chumras atmura shi tafel. Let's just try to see if we can analyze this. So Gemara says the following, that in the case of Tmura, how is it that Tmura is chal on a behemas mum, a balas mum? So the Gemara thought that was because of the Chumrah of Tmura. No. That's not because of the Chumrah of Tmura. But rather, we ask the following question. Where did Tmura get its status as Hegdesh? Its Kedusha. Where did it derive it from? It's Mikol Kachim Kaasi. It is a derivative of Kachim, right? Mikol the Kedusha of the original Behemah that was Behemah's Kachim. So which Kedusha is greater? The original or the Tmura? Obviously the original is greater, correct? And it's so great that somehow we can even clone that Kedusha and generate some sort of Kedusha in the Tmura case. And the fact that if the animal is a Balas Mum, you can still be Makfis the Kedusha through Tmura, that itself indicates the Chumrah of the original. The original is so powerful that you can even set up a Tmura on the Baal Mum. However, Kachim Mitchila Sekdesham, in other words, before you were Magdish, and now you want to be Magdish an animal that's a Balas Mum, that's Mikol Chulin Kasi. In other words, there never was any Kedusha at all. So you're trying to generate a Kedusha that didn't exist. Therefore, if the animal is a balas mum, you don't have the power to be magdashit. So in other words, why is Tmura chal on a balas mum? That's only because it's ba mikach kedusha chamura. Because it's a result of a kedusha that already exists in the original Behemah's kachim. And that status of the animal, its intense level of kedusha, is able to clone itself, sort of to generate another level of kedusha on the Behemah's Tmura. Now you're asking me, well, wait a minute, if a Behemah's Tmura can become Kedosha as a result of the fact, despite the fact that it's a Balas Mum, then paradoxically, why is it that the original HaKedosha, the original sanctification of the Behemah, is not able to be Chal on a Balas Mum? And the answer is because that's coming Mikoach Chulim. You follow that? So you have three animals here. You have... I have two animals, but we'll call it three animals because the first two represent historically a transformation. So you started with the Behemah's Chulin, and now you want to make that Behemah's Chulin into Behemah's Kodshim. You have no Kodesh to draw from. All you have is Chulin in front of you. So therefore we're going to be very limited about how and under what conditions you can start up, you know, when you know, if you have a car that's still driving, you know, the motor is still going, even though it's a little bit weak, it's easier to give it an extra push. But if you're in a startup situation where you have zero, that you really need a lot more energy, a lot more fuel to get it up and running. So here, in the case of Behemah's Kachim, where you were Magdish Chulin, you're not drawing from any energy force of Kodesh in order to engender this. So here the Torah says, you know what? You want to create a new startup, a new creation of Kachim, of Hegdesh? For that, you don't have the power to do it on a Balas Mum. But now we take the case of Tmura. I'll be right with you, Aaron. I just want to finish. So, but in the case of Tmura, we already have a Kedusha. Why? Because the animal that you were Magdish was a Tamim. It was not a Balas Mum. All right, now you have the Kedusha. Now you want to do a Tmura shtick. You want to pull a Tmura shtick. And you want to get something for that Kedusha and schlep it onto the animal. Well, all right, I have Kedusha in the world. So if I have Kedusha in the world, I'm not starting something new. I can even generate Kedusha on a Balasmu. Yeah.
So it just sounds like we're... The definition of Tafel and Ikar are evolving throughout the Suya. We start with Ola and Chatat as ideas, and we learn the idea of Chatat from the idea of Ola, and therefore the idea, we're trying to say that the idea of Chatat is Tafel to the idea of Ola, and therefore it can't be more Chamur. Then we go to Maser Sheni, where I think you can read it either way, the idea of Maser Sheni or the idea of Lekuach Kesef. Because of Maser Sheni, where you can see it is like literally
a derivative.
But now this is completely
derivative.
We're not dealing with ideas at all. We're dealing with the physical animal is drawing Kedusha.
Let me just repeat Aaron's question. He's saying that the word derivative takes on two different meanings here in this sukkah. In the case of Chatos and Ola, and we want to say that Chatos is a Tafel, because the din of the requirement of Tzafon is firmly rooted in Ola. So then the word derivative here as a Tafel in the case of Chatos is means just the mechanism by which we derive the halacha, right? The Alfusa. In Hilchos Alfusa, it has a din of a Tafel. When the Gemara now analyzes this rule, the Gemara is going off on a whole different realm and an analysis. And the Gemara wants to know, well, what about a derivative in which the very chalos, the very status of the object is a derivative from an original kedusha, let's say, right? For example, lakuach bekesef ma'aser sheni, that in some sense has derived its kedusha from the original parents of ma'aser sheni, and the tmura is deriving its kedusha from the original kodshim. That seems to be a little bit different. Oh. So I think my excellent. Mamish, brilliant. I don't know what we're going to do without you, Aaron. Okay. Can you Skype us or something? What part of the world are you going to be in?
I'm going to be in the States.
You're going to be in, I forgot again, Cleveland,
Pittsburgh.
Okay. So I don't know if they have Skype in Pittsburgh. No,
it's early in the morning.
Yeah, right. It's a different hour. You're right. Okay. So Aaron is saying something beautiful. Let me just try to give my knee-jerk response to Aaron. I think the following... That the principle of Adabarav, the way Ravina understands it, is not just a technical Yalfusa halacha. What the premise here is that in the world of Kachim, we have different levels of Kedusha. Right? We have Kachim Kachim, we have Kachim Kalim, even within Kachim Kalim, we said the Shlamim, that's the big boy. You know, that's called Gavoa, and then we have the lower case of Bechar and Maisa. You know, so we really have to strata, you know, we have different stratas and a whole hierarchy of a pyramid of Kodshim. The Gemara understands that when you derive a halacha from the original, that original becomes, at least vis-a-vis that halacha, the source, not only technically, but even in Hilchas Kedusha. Even in terms of setting up a priority system, a pyramid system of Kedusha. So when we talk about Tzafon, it's not coincidental that the Torah revealed the requirement of Tzafon in the case of Ola, but it means that there's something about a Karban Ola that requires Tzafon. There's something in the nature of the Kedusha's Ola that says you can't shecht it in the Dharam. That's second rate. Don't treat me, says the Ola, as a second rate citizen. I'm a first rate citizen. I require Shechita B'Tzafon, the Halig B'Tzafon. Now it gets the Chatos, and what does it say about Chatos? Oh, you know what? Do the Shechita, the Chatos, in the same place as the Ola. Means, why did the Torah tell me in Ola, not in Chatos? That's not just a technicality. That's not just a matter of coincidence. But there was a deliberate machshava here that the Torah said, you know what? Chatos is going to be derived from Ola because Chatos also has a little bit of a reflected image of the original. It's kind of like, you know, the Rebbe and the Talmud. You know, the Talmud has a reflected image of the Rebbe. So when you see the Talmud, you get a feeling for the Rebbe. But the Rebbe himself, that's the original. Yeah.
Yeah.
I forgot my question, sorry.
Yeah, Ben, you want to say
something. I hear what Aaron's saying. I think it's, I'm coming from a slightly different perspective. I might have an identical din, but the reason for din sometimes is because of the derivative, or it's the reason for din something has nothing to do with the derivative and the paradigm. So I'm just saying in these cases, you might think, I think the answer will lie in the reason for din. Sometimes the reason for din is not because it's the derivative is stronger than there's a total.
Yeah, so Aaron is saying that maybe it's a derivative. That's just a technicality. It's just mechanical. It happens to be that the Torah formulated the requirement of tzafon in the parasha of Olah. Now you want to know, is there a certain rule or regulation that anything derived from Olah, which is called tafel, cannot go beyond the original Olah? That's more of a mechanics, you know, that works within the modus operandus of Hilchus Limudim and Yalfusis. And if that be the case, it's very odd that the Gemara is analyzing it from a whole different perspective, namely of cloning Kedusha. When you clone Kedusha, so the clone is not the same as the original. That has to do with levels of Kedusha. And for sure, you know, Kesef, if it's Lakuach, the Kesef Eisenshein, it's a low level of Kedusha. It's just a clone, an image of the original. And certainly in the case of Tmura, we understand very well that the Gemara is right and correct for analyzing and classifying Tmura as a derivative. It's a derivative because it doesn't have the original Kedusha. What I'm suggesting is, and I wouldn't have thought of it without Aaron's question, is that the Gemara is going beyond this. The Gemara is saying that if the Torah chose deliberately to set up a certain standard, a very high restriction, with regard to X, it must be that Y, which is going to be derived from X, is sort of like a nachschlepper, we call it in Yiddish. You know what a nachschlepper is? It's sort of like Lot vis-a-vis Avraham Avinu. You know, Lot is hanging on to Avraham's coattails. You know, who's Lot? Lot is a no good nachschlepper. You know, any status that Lot has only because of his heliga, you know, his heliga uncle. You know, Uncle Abe. You know. Okay.
And Tamura.
Yeah. Oh, you remembered. Good.
Sort of.
Or a new one.
So in the case of Tamura, the second animal is unblemished.
Right.
And then because if it's already blemished, you can't make it Tamura.
No. We're saying the following. That the original chulin that you want to be magdish, you can't be magdish if it's a balmum. But the tmura, even if that tmura animal is a balmum, you can be magdish through the mechanics of tmura.
Even if it's already balmum.
Correct, it's a balmum before you said arezu tmura zu. And that would seem to indicate that the tafil is more chomer than the ikar.
Okay.
So Gemara says no, has nothing to do with that. The question is, can you start up a kedusha? And the answer is that on a balmum you can't start up a kedusha, but if you're just cloning kedusha, but the kedusha already exists in the world, that you can do. Here's case number three. Hare Pesach, in the case of Korban Pesach, we find that the tafel is more chomer than the ikar. Dehu eino tan smicha. The halacha is that there's no smicha on a Korban Pesach. Okay, the Gemara is going to derive this. Not only do you have no smicha in Pesach, there are other elements that are missing that normally apply to shlomen, let's say, for example, to kachim kalim, and that's nesachim, tenufas chazav v'shok. All this is completely omitted in the case of Korban Pesach. V'ilu mosar dinei. Now, here's a very interesting case. The man was mafrish a korban for Pesach, and then he got lost. And after he realized that he lost the Korban Pesach, he replaced it with another Korban Pesach. And he went ahead and he was makriv that second replacement. Now he finds the original. So the original, which is called Mosar, and that's, right? I'm sorry. My mistake. Did I say the original is Mosar? I meant to say the following. The replacement, just 1 second. Yeah. So now what happens is he finds the original. Correct?
Yeah, and he didn't bring it on. So now it's after Pesach, or the time.
Right. He couldn't bring it after Pesach because he already replaced it with a different Korban Pesach. So ton smicho nesachim utnuvas chaza v'shok. Now this is very strange. Why? Because l'chora, once he brings the replacement carbon, the replacement carbon now becomes the ikar. It's a little bit tricky here. That's why I almost made a mistake. So now the man finds the original carbon pesach that was lost, and now it has a din of mosar pesach, meaning it's kind of like a surplus. It's secondary because he was already yotzei. He fulfilled his mitzvah of carbon pesach. What does he do with the original that he found, which is now already out of the ballpark as far as carbon pesach is concerned? Well, now he's got to bring it as a carbon together with smicha and nesachim and tnufas chazav v'shok. That puts it on a higher level, even though paradoxically he had already brought the carbon pesach, and the fulfillment of the mitzvah of carbon pesach doesn't require neither smicha nor nesachim nor tnufas chazav v'shok. So again, I don't understand this Havamini too well, but let's just see if what I, in my understanding, if the Gemara is going to come up with the chilut. The Gemara says the following: Pesach b'shar yimos hashana shlamimu. Very good. We're not saying that the status of this carbon is greater than the status of the carbon that you brought as a carbon pesach. No, we're saying that the status of this carbon is not that of a carbon pesach at all. Carbon Pesach is gone. It's over. Baruch Hashem, he brought a different carbon, he replaced it, he was Yotzer. Now he has a din of Shlomim. That's called Mosar HaPesach B'Shayi Mos HaShon and Shlomim. And that's not called Tofel, because it's in a whole different category. You have one class called Pesach, and you have another class called Shlomim. And now it has the status of Shlomim. So at the end of the day, it sounds like the Gemara is happy with Ravina's original statement, and lo yehei tafel, lo matzinu tafel sheichamor mina ikar, and that's how we derive that Ola requires tzafon in both Shechita and Kabbalah, and not only the mitzvah, but even li'ikuv. So now, I realize that it took me a lot longer than I thought, but let's see in the next 15 minutes what we could accomplish here. There's a beautiful, beautiful piece here in the Nefesh Tova. I'm very, very excited about it. And I think in the case of Chelek Beis, we all have the same pagination, so that's good. I don't know if you could underline the pictures that you have in your phone. That I don't know. But it's on page Shin Sadi Tes. So I'm going to write that down. Shin Sadi Tes. Okay? And if you want to know the number of the Os, it's Os Yudalid. But you know what? In this case, it's much better to get the page than to get the Os, because this book, I don't know why they did it exactly this way, but it's divvied up into many different sections. Each chapter in Zvachim gets its own section, so you might get lost if you look for number Yudalid. But you won't get lost, I think, if you look for page Shin Sadi Tes.
Just kind of go in order.
The numbers of the pages go in order, but the topics and the osios, they only go in order within a parak. Right. So, for example, I think in this book there are 4 prakim, if I'm not mistaken, or 3 prakim, and you'll find Yudalid over and over and over again. So if I tell you to look for Os Yudalid, you know, you might get stuck in the wrong parak. Right, here we have, look at this, Parak Shlishi. Okay, that is Os Yudalid. Then he has Parak Revi. And that is Os Yudalid. Then he has Perek Hamishi. That is Os Yudalid. So if I tell you Os Yudalid, you know, it's a lot of Yudayim here. So we have it, Ben? Shin Sadi Tes.
I have the page. Maybe not.
No, this doesn't say Shin on it. It says Tough on it. Don't get tough on it.
Who's looking this way?
Don't get tough on it.
Who's reversing
it? Just one page. Just one page. Just one page.
Make sure I'm in the same
room. Now I'm in trouble. Yeah. What's going on here? Shin.
Is that the right character?
Is that the right,
we're in. No, I'm sorry.
I was really beginning to sweat there. You know, do I have a different edition than you do? And I was so happy we all have the same edition.
Yes, we open.
Okay. Shin Sadi Tes.
I asked around for pictures.
You have such a thing? All the way in the bottom left.
Give me a okay.
Pirush Rashi. Okay, then Pirush Rashi, and now we're turning to the tough part. Shalom Atzinu Lameid Chomer Min HaMalameid. So the Rashi is bothered by the following question. The entire sugya that we just learned is based on one premise, and he questions that underlying premise. And that is, in the Gemara's language, Chatos is considered a tafel because it's a derivative of Ola. It's not a derivative of Ola. That's not really true. Amai kari Chatos lamda mi Ola. Why do you classify Chatos as something that was derived from Ola as far as tafel is concerned? Haksiv bekra, the Torah says regarding Chatos, b'makom asher tishchata Ola, tishchata Chatos. Take those words, b'makom asher tishchata Ola, and reduce them to one word with four letters. Tzafa. He says that's a davar hakasu befurash. Again, the Torah wants to tell you. Again, I'm a little bit bothered why according to the Rashi's question, the Torah just didn't shorten this word. Shorten, you know, the Torah is very stingy. It could have just said tzafona, like it said in the case of an Ola. But maybe you would have to add Yerecham is Be'ach Tzafonus. So I don't know, we'll count up the letters and see where there's less. And he says the following. He says, Hadik Kosav Kra, Hadik Sipa Kra, Gabi Chatos, Volotola Kosav Bi'ola. It's not pshat that the Torah, in the case of Chatos, made it dependent upon Ola. Ela maramakom hulo. You familiar with that phrase? Maramakom hulo. It's like a pointer. You want to know where the shechita should take place in the case of a chatos. The answer is where you shechted the ol. Kidei lomar be eza makom niskavna Torah. The Torah wants to tell you what did I have in mind. My intention was to that place. That's the place where you shechted the ol. It's just a maramakom. It's just a technical way of telling you where this is, identifying it as tzafon. Why do we consider Chatos as a derivative from Ola? The Torah is telling you exactly where to shech the Chatos. And that's Lehejah Bekra. Now he asks a second question, which is very similar to the first question, based on a sugyan daf nun hey amid aleph. Let's see if we have a minute to open up to daf nun hey amid aleph.
I found it. Sorry, redeem myself.
Okay, but nun hey amid aleph in the sifta has probably five different options. So let's see if we get the right one. Okay. So we're looking for, I think, the top line of the Gemara, maybe. Let me just make sure we're talking about... Oh, so you see there's an introduction here, a little background, and he writes that we learned in our Mishnah that the place for Shechita Sivchei Shalmei Tzibur and Kibul Damam is B'Tzafon. As far as the requirement of tzafon in asham, which is also mentioned in this Mishnah, that we derive back on daf mem tes, we didn't get to this Gemara yet, from the pasuk that says in asham that you have to shecht it in the same place as the ola. Fine. But as far as shalmei tzibur is concerned, we don't find that the Torah requires tzafon. Is minole the top line on nun heim and alf to buy tzafon? What's the source for tzafon in the case of Shalmei Tzibur? The Shalmei Tzibur, by the way, is the same as Kivsei Atzeres. These were two kvasim that were brought together with the karban of the Shtei Lechem on Chag HaShavuos. And the Gemara answers, the Tani Rabba Barbachana Kamei de Rava. The Torah says, Vayikra Chav Gimel, this is in Parashas Emor, it says, as far as the karbonos of Chag HaTzeres, which we call Chag HaShavuos, it says Vasisem Sa'ir La'izim Echad L'Chatos U'Shnei Kvasim V'nei Shano L'Zevach Shlamim. And we're focused now on the Shnei Kvasim, which are called Shlamim. The Torah explicitly defines these two Kvasim as Shlamim. But at the beginning of the pasuk, it mentions Chatos. It's Hikishan HaKosim L'Chatos. Ma chatos b'tzafon is afshal mitzibur b'tzafon. only Rava. Rava says we have a problem. And this is a long sugya in Kodshim. And that is that if you derive X, then you can't use X to derive Y. He says, you're telling me there's an equation between Shalmei Tzibur and Chatos to teach me Tzofon. Well, wait a minute. Let's go back to Chatos itself. Chatos itself is a Lameda. Lameda, that's the key word here. Lameda means it is a derivative. And that's derived Me'ola. And that's what we had in our Sugya Daf Mem Ches. V'chidavar al-lameid, if you have something that's lameida, lameid, behekesh, meaning we have a hekesh between chatos and ola, as far as the requirement of tzofon is concerned, is chozer malami behekesh. So you have a hekesh between A and B. A is explicit, B is derived from a hekesh from A. Now you have a hekesh between B and C. The rules are, in Kodshim at least, that you can't derive C from B if B itself is derived from A. You can derive B from A, but you can't derive C from B. You know, if C could be derived from A, that's fine, but here the hekesh was between Shalmei Tzibur and Chatos. So once again, Rabosa, you see clearly that the status of Chatos as far as Tzofon is concerned is only a derivative. It's only a Dovar Hanilmat. So once again, the Rashiv is going to ask the same question. He says the following. He says, why is that called a Dovar Nilmad? Chatos itself is pretty explicit. You're telling me that Chatos is a Nilmad, and therefore Dovar Alami Behekesh. Eino Chozer Malami Behekesh. It's not really a Dovar Nilmad.
I have a question.
Yeah.
I thought earlier we used the Pasuk.
Right. For hekesh, for everything. So why isn't that good enough to teach me tzofon? Is that what you're asking?
You're asking
something else.
I'm just saying, like, I thought.
I'm reading into your question. You know what bothers my mind? Yeah.
I thought the hekesh was not from b'makom asher tishafet ha'ala tishafet ha'chadat. I thought the hekesh was from that verse.
Well, again, I'm not sure what you're asking, but the general hekesh to Ola can teach me things that we wouldn't have known otherwise. But here, if we know it otherwise, we don't need that hekesh. As the Torah says explicitly, where do you shecht? The Torah addresses this question: where do you shecht the karbon chatos? The b'makom, that place where you shechted the Ola. So I don't need that other hekesh. But the Rashi is saying, well, since the Torah addressed this question of where you should shecht the chatos, the Torah only uses ola to identify the place, but that's mefurish, that's a hedra b'kra, that's not a dovran nilman. But we see consistently, the Gemara says it's a dovran nilman. Let's just read another few lines on Daf Nun Hei. And the Gemara says, Ela Amar Rava, how are we going to derive the law of Tzafon and Zivchei Shalmei Tziva Midatani from the Braisa? What does the Braisa tell us? He tells you who brought this Braisa. You know, we're always curious to know which Amora had the transmission, had the tradition of the Braisa. It's Rav Mori Bereder of Kahana. Now this Braisa is darshaning a pasuk in Baloscha. It says, V'yom simchaschem mo'adeichem v'rasheichot shechem uskatem v'chatzotzos alolosechem v'alzivchei shalmeichem. So notice that in one breath the Torah mentions both Ola and Zivchei Shlomim. The word, or the phrase, Zivchei Shlomim is a reference to Shalmei Tzibur of Chagat Seres. And how do we know that? Because it says, Uskatem Bechatzotzros. And which Karbonos require Shira Bechatzotzros at the time of Nisuch HaYayin, that's a Karbon Tzibur. In other words, if a Yochid brings a Karbon Shlomim, there's no din of Shira. What generates Shira, this song, is a Karban Tzibur. So the Shlomim here, mentioned here in the Pasuk that requires blowing the Chatzotzros, that must be Shalmei Tzibur. And nevertheless, the Pasuk says, Alo Leisechem Val Zivchei Shalmeichem. Ma Ola Kodshei Kodshim Ash. Shmuel, you're listening carefully.
Yes.
The Gemara now finally introduces this concept that you had in mind an hour ago of kachim kachim. It took the Gemara an hour, but they finally came around. Af zivchei shalmei tzibur kachim kachim. Now, what's the deal here? What is the significance and the implication of classifying something as kachim kachim? So this is complicated. For this, we'd have to know taros, and I'm having enough trouble with kachim. Don't hit me with taros. But there's something called a tful yom. A tful yom is kind of not a full-fledged tameh, but he already went to mikvah. He needs harif shemesh. He's in that middle. How shall I say, the bein hashmash, is the twilight zone of tumah. And if he touches something that's kodesh, basa kodesh, then he passels it. But that only applies to kachim kachim. There's another din that kachim kachim, if it's taken out of the azor, becomes possible with Torah's yotze. That doesn't apply to kachim kalim. Then there's a third halacha called lina. Lina means if you left it overnight, it becomes possible, and that only applies to kachim kachim. But in any event, there are a bunch of laws that apply to kachim kachim that don't apply to kachim kalim. And in the case of Zivchei Shalmei Tzibur, the Gemara classifies these Kivsei Atzeres as Kachi Kachi for all those dinim that we mentioned. And now the Gemara says, Ma, Ola, Bitzafon, Af Zivchei Shalmei Tzibur Bitzafon. In other words, once we classify Zivchei Shalmei Tzibur as Kachi Kachim, and we derive all those other halachas that we mentioned before, then we're also going to derive the halach of Tzafon. So Rav Mosai, the Gemara did exactly what I was hoping it would do. The Gemara said, I have a problem here, because A teaches B, and B cannot teach C. So A is Ola, that requires Tzofen explicitly. Chatos is B, that's derived from Ola. Now you cannot set up a Hekesh between C, which is Shalmei Tzibur, and B, which is Chatos, because Chatos as a Nilma cannot be a Malami. So the Gemara says, Nein, what I'm going to do is C is going to be derived directly from A. Why? Because the Torah says, Al Osechem, Al Zivchei Shalmechem, and it means that Shalmei Tzibur have the same status as Ola. The Gemara says it means you've upgraded Shalmei Tzibur, which is really erratic. It's really an exception to the rule. Shalomim is always Kachim Kalim, with the one exception of Shalmei Tzibur becomes Kachim Kachim for many different dinim, and the Gemara throws Tzofon into boot. So now we could derive Shalmei Tzibur directly from Ola in the original. So again, I'm going to have to let you go because it's time to go, but we'll just finish this one paragraph of Chen, and he says the following. He says, oh, I see he quotes the next line of the Gemara. Just one second. So Gemara says, Ella Hakesha Kama Lamai Asa. Right, we had a Hekesh before that in the Pasuk. Let me get the Pasuk again. The Pasuk says in Shalmei Tzibur, it says, Ushnei Kfasim B'nei Shana L'Zevach Shlamim. And that follows right after Echad L'Chatos. So the Torah went out of its way to equate Zivchei Shalmei Tzibur with Chatos. We don't need it anymore. Well, you can tell me the din of Tzofon. We can derive the din of Tzofon and Shalmei Tzibur directly from Ola, from the original. So Hekesh Kamal Amai Osa. You have to derive something from that Hekesh. So the Gemara answers, Ki Chatos, Ma Chatos, Einen Echel Sel Zivchei Kuhuna, Af Zivchei Shalmei Tzibur, Einen Necholim El Zivchei Kuhuna. No, it's normally shalomim could be eaten by anyone. A zar, a woman, a man, anybody. But what the Torah is changing the status and the essence of Shalmei Tzibur as far as its achilas basa is concerned to equate it with chatos. Wow, that's a whole new din. You see, I'm not sure why that din couldn't be derived from the fact that Shalmei Tzibur is kachei kachim. All kachei kachim has to be eaten by zichrei kohuna. Let's see, maybe the Rashiv is going to ask that question. Anyway, at the end of the paragraph, he's Ad Kan. Ad Kan means all this above was a word-for-word quote of the Gemara Daf Nun Hei. And now he adds, this is five lines before the end of the paragraph, he says, Hare Chashiv Chatos Lemeda Din Safa Me Ola, that it's a Lemeda means it's a derivative of Ola. Ulahachi Efshal Lamit Lilmod Mimenu from Ola Lishabit Siva, I mean Lamit Min Alamit. It's Orhina Main Mikre Chatos Lameda Mi Ola. So Rabosai, this piece we have to do on Yom Rishon Bli Neder, because this is again Rabbi Leib Malin. You know, I became a big fan of Rabbi Leib Malin. So that's what we're going to have here. So is there any way that I can expect you to remember that we're on page Tough? That's not a tough thing. Sorry, I'm very bad at puns.
No, you're very good at puns, actually.
Yeah, well, my wife doesn't think so. Maybe you can convince her. She thinks my puns are very corny.
That's what a pun is.
So let me, very punny. So let's wish everyone a great Shabbos. Aaron, are you here for another few days? Or?
Another week, yeah.
Oh, another week. Okay, great. That's a blessing. You know, we have to count that blessing. So you've been a tremendous addition to the Shir, and for me personally, you know, asking questions and stimulating my mind in many new directions. And at this age of my life, I'm still 65 for another few hours. Tonight is my Hebrew birthday, Tes Tammuz. So, you know, my wife always says, at this age, you got to stimulate new brain pathways. You know, otherwise, Chas V'Shalom, you get that other thing we don't even want to mention, and the brain stops working. Okay, then, so wish everyone a great Shabbos. And anyone who's around at 11:45, we have a great sugya today to learn in Mitzvah Shabbos.
Which Tosfot were we going to be focusing on? You alluded to a Tosfot yesterday.
So I alluded to the fact that I need your feedback, because that's a month's work, and you have to make that call. Okay. The first Tosfos in Perek Ezu Mekomon is massive. And the Nefesh Tova has about 20 pages, I think. I don't even count it, but... So you have to decide. Now, again, we're trying to find that very sensitive balance between fast pace and Iyun, which Iyun right now in my life means Nefesh Tova at this point in my life. So you have to let me know. You know, I would have to spend the next 48 hours preparing the Tosfos, you know. Well, how many hours do we have until Sunday? That's more than 48 hours, right? Let's call it 36 hours, you know. So please get back to me on that. And it's an existential decision, because once we get into this Tosfos,
I mean,
you can't get out quick. It's not like a mikveh, jump in and jump out.
It's the first Tosfos on the Masechet, on the parrot.
On the parrot. You see the size of it?
I'm in favor of it. I don't know how everyone else feels. I'd love to go into it.
So, you know what? I think we, you know, I'm just reminding myself. Again, the pathways have to be that we said maybe we'll give it a shot for a day or two and see how it goes.
Okay.
You know, I forgot that we came to that conclusion.
We'll just get a derech alimud of how we, if we want to continue on our own.
Right.
That'd be awesome.
Right.
We're in the fifth maybe pack, for a right. certain period of time, we'll be learning the same thing as some other Shiuri that are in any case.
Are you being diplomatic or something?
No. I'm trying to be.
Leave the diplomacy to me. You don't have to be diplomatic. You have to be straightforward.
Right? So you're going to... Are you...